settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Nick and Sylvie Avery.
Okay, everybody, we're back again now. Little gremlin in the works there. Anyway, this week's show is called The Simple World. And like I say, if you'd like to join us with a question related to our conversation, it's toll-free. And the number in the U.S. is 877-876-5227. Canada is 888-810-8322. And an international call is not toll-free, but it's not too expensive, and it's 001-530-876-3222. So that's 3222.
Thank you, Marin. Well, hello. I am Nick Avery. At least I was when I looked this morning. As well as Spirit's work on the wonderful bbsradio.com on Mondays at 7 p.m. and Thursdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, we've got another radio show, and that's called Spirit Teaching, and you can hear that on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 7 p.m. PST. If you'd like to know more about us, our books, CDs, book an Akashic reading, even go to one of the other services that we offer, then please do so. Feel free. Go to our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com. I am a deep trance medium, and I've been doing it for 13 years. As usual, I'll be bringing through spirit guide Gregory Hay, who will be speaking to you and Sylvie. Gregory will borrow my body for the rest of the show, and I won't be aware of anything that happens from then on in the physical world, as my spirit and consciousness are taken elsewhere. I might have a memory of what happens to me in the spirit world, or I might not. Gregory had an earth life 300 years ago, and he has come back to help us with the benefit of his education and development in the spirit world. As he was, as in his own words, as thick as a plank when he was here in the physical world. Anyway, I'm going to let Sylvie take it from here, because my words are running out of my mouth, and I'm not really...
Very coherent.
No.
Okay.
So, and that's actually because of the energy is drawing very close now. So, I'll say goodbye for this week. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
Yes, Gregory is a prime example of how it is that we can learn and still educate ourselves when we pass over. Anyway, apart from Gregory's many other tasks in the spirit world, he is the spokesperson for a massive educational group called the White Cloud Group. And they consist of eminent scientists and scholars from all walks of life, and he was asked to be the representative of the group by White Cloud himself, who is a shining one. Gregory's made very modest, but we think it must have been because he has such an endearing personality and wonderful communication skills that he was selected to help humanity and save our world, because he can relate to us in such a specific and special way. And I, for one, am very grateful that there are those on the other side in another dimension who still care enough to try to steer us towards a more peaceful spiritual pathway. And I'd just like to mention that we will have another mini Akashic reading show, a free mini Akashic reading show. On our Thursday show, the next one will be on the 19th of April. And that's in between 1 and 2 p.m. PST, and I think that's 9 and 10 p.m. if you're in the UK. So... we would need your full name at birth, including a middle name, your date of birth, one question, and your telephone number. And then you can email us at enq@spirit-teaching.com, and I will get back to you and we can organize that. Okay, well, here we are then. Gregory, I do believe you are here.
Yes, friend. Hello.
Hello.
With love and light, as always, friend. May there be peace in your journey.
Thank you. Okay, so today we're going to be talking about the simple world.
Yes, I bet. I expect that you are wondering what on earth could that be. It doesn't have any relationship to my life.
No, yes, I'm sure everybody's thinking that. Which bit of it is simple?
Everything is simple.
Okay.
That is my point, which is why we actually brought about this subject.
Okay.
Because it is all dependent upon how you look at it. What is it that each and every one of you are bringing into your lives? As you rush about from this event to that appointment, whatever it is that you fill your lives up with, I'm not saying that it is not good to have a full life. You need to have a full life. Make the best of it. Make every day, every moment of your day count, of course. But that doesn't mean to say that it cannot be simple. It doesn't mean to say that the expressions or the information, the knowledge that comes to you, that is brought to you, perhaps by others, or perhaps really to do with your own insight into the world around you. These are things which come in a very simplistic way. The more beautiful they are, the more simple they really are. My point is that human beings, in their struggle for survival, try to bring about the close bond relationship with all things, and then complicate the issue by putting their own way of it, by saying it in their own way. Oh, well, this actually appeals to me like this, purely because I like this color, but I don't like that color. So perhaps you will pick plants or whatever that may not actually ordinarily fit together well, perhaps because they are from different parts of the planet. And you actually put them in together and are surprised at times when they do not quite work, or when certain other situations, perhaps, for example, that bees may not actually pollinate.
Hello there, Gregory.
They are not aware of exactly what they are.
Hello.
Hello there, Sylvie. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. Who's this?
My name is Brian.
Hello, Brian.
Hello, Brian.
Hello, Gregory.
Hello.
How are you doing? I just had a question for you.
Yes.
In the physical form, is it possible, as we are in the 3D physical form in this realm, is it possible to do the things that the Nazarene did 2,000 years ago? Walk on water, levitate. Is it possible?
Many people, my friend, have levitated, yes. Many people have done other such beautiful things. Created magic almost that you would determine on your side of life. Other people, after all, have enabled beings who had previously passed to the spirit world to become alive again, to actually be seen in your side of life. And so surely you would have to say that all of these are very definite qualities, and something somehow is missing in your world at this present time because you do not experience these things.
There's
that
one,
actually happens because perhaps you have not come into contact with the right people. But I assure you, friend, that there are people on your side of life. They're not Jesus. They're not the Nazarene. They're not anyone else. They're just ordinary people.
Right.
Exactly the same as Jesus was an ordinary human being who had exceptional a way with his spirit connection.
So one in the physical realm needs to be get in contact with their higher self to be able to manifest this ability?
Yes. Love is the prime motivation behind this because it creates, it amplifies the serotonin within your physical state. And this is exactly, my friend, the exact same energy which powers such things as physical mediumship. I'm sure you've heard of that.
Yes.
and the ability of the physical medium to help spirit to clothe themselves fully in a physical form again, to, as we call it, garb themselves in the same cellular structure and cellular memory that they had when they walked the physical earth. And you can hold them, have a conversation with them, you can touch them and they can touch you, and you will feel all of that. It's not something that's a trick of the mind. It is a very real state.
Does one have to learn to command the mind, to work with it and with soul essence, to
yes.
be able to go beyond the belief, to
yes.
move with oneness?
Yes, absolutely, my friend. I'm so pleased that you brought that up, to go beyond belief.
Mm-hmm.
That is a central element of this situation, of this whole question. You must traverse what is belief and understand that belief is purely the pathway to truth.
I see.
And truth, and yeah. truth, my friend, is the gateway to knowledge.
Mm. So hold that truth within one's heart.
Yes.
Mm. I can feel it right now. The heat feels good.
Yes. Absolutely. And the thing is, you see, that even if you are, shall we say, you are walking in a park or something like that, if you look at the simple things that life is offering you, that God in all creation of wisdom is offering you as a human being, is such a thing as a tree that is coming now, just coming into greenery, new green leaves, new green shoots that are coming into life. It isn't to say that it ever died, and
right.
no tree ever does die, because it continues on in its spirit, in the
yes.
in the embodiment of other trees of the same ilk that have come from it in its form of seed.
It's very, very amazing. Well, I wanted to thank you, Gregory, and thank you, Sylvie.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you any time, my friend.
Mm,
and God bless.
Yes.
God bless, friend.
Thank you.
God bless.
You. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Now, you see, we come to this position of, as a human being, and I have been there myself because I've had a physical experience. When I was in physical life, I didn't really pay that much attention most of the time to the symbolism of what was really around me. I wasn't attracted to the grace that even just being near a small plant could give me. How can that be? How can such a small thing deliver grace to me? Purely because as a being, if I observe the plant in a way of I could trample it, then you are actually not connecting with it. If you are a being who observes the plant as being something very special, a beautiful gift being given by the Creator himself, as is as much the Creator of herself, in as much as what you are, yourself a creator. Yes, you are a creator. All beings are creators, creators of wellness, creators of continuation of the species of which you are a part. You are also a perceptor of how you may bring about intention for your life to have a positive effect on something else. You don't want to leave your physical life with a negative footprint. You want to be able to move across the earth's pathway. You want to be able to do this through the landscape and actually be able to have left a positive trait for that land. It's quite simple. Everything is. Human beings just seem to want to complicate and muddy the water. Perhaps that may be because for some human beings, they feel that if they do that, they are making themselves loftier than someone else. How many have you heard say, oh, well, I only communicate with ascended masters. And in which case, of course, all of the energy and everything that I receive is really of the highest quality or whatever. And that everything I'm trying to bring, everything I have to do is obviously with this great intention, with this great well of love, yes, but also because I have in mind that I am better than someone else, because I've already stated that I am. If you really think that way, then how can you possibly be an ascended being at all? If, however, you, as most normal human beings, will deny that that is the case, even if you say or state that you are in communication with an ascended master, whatever that means. Does that mean to say that you have risen above everyone else because your vibration must have transcended that of mortal human coil? It means to say that you are making the situation of a space between who you are and what your vibration is to the vibration of someone else, who you have automatically placed below you in the scheme of things. So, in looking at the small plant, in seeing its perfect beauty, no matter whether it has been clipped here and there by human hand and perhaps altered somewhat genetically as well, that's quite possible. I do not rule out genetic plants either. After all, I would hazard a guess that three quarters of the plants that exist on your side of life are mutations from one another, because mutation is what genetic manipulation is. So that is something that you're not to be afraid of, if it is for the better. To keep a simple world is understanding what the basics are, what is the premise that you are looking upon. If you want to transcend the vibration of who you are now, then behave in a different way. Behave in a better way toward all of those beings who are around you. How many people have you seen who have this downturned mouth, these worried eyebrows? Quite simply, because they're not having a good day? Yes, possibly so. Also, I would have to say that they may well be in difficulty with their day. Perhaps their past has caught up with them, or perhaps their mind is still in their past. It could be that way around. Many people think in terms of what they did yesterday and the situations of their past life, or that year, or that month, or I've had a bad week. Yes, you've had a bad week because you've stayed there. That's the only reason. Things have mounted up because you've allowed the negative trait to infiltrate your mind. You have bent your consciousness not to accept the positivity of life, but to continually attract the negative ones. So you are held there like a prisoner of your own mind, of your own lack of response or forward thinking.
I was talking to somebody yesterday whose brother has almost lost their sight, and she was saying that he was saying that he just so misses seeing a bird on a bird on a tree, or a bee on a flower, or something like that. The simple things in life that we just don't take for granted, that we don't appreciate.
Yes.
And that's just one small edge of the scale, really, isn't it?
Absolutely, because people so, as you say, take it for granted, the things that they have, the motability that they have. And then, what if? Tis with the what ifs of life. Because what ifs are always round the corner, because you don't know exactly what is going to happen to you tomorrow. Yes, you could perhaps book a psychic and ask them. to look into the time field. You could seek different ways of actually manipulating the situation so that you can most definitely have a better day, because that is to do with your attitude of mind. However, of course, if something has already befallen you physically, as you say, perhaps you've lost your sight, or nearly lost it, perhaps you have lost a part of movement. You may have lost an arm or a leg. You may have lost both. What then? What do you do then? If you have no arms and no legs, what then? Well, fortunately, my friend, if you still have sight and a voice and a mind, then you can still do something more than other people who do not have those gifts. And you can still do something with those gifts, particularly in your modern age. It isn't like you are living in my time of life in 1723, when, in fact, there were no computers, when there were no possibilities of using the voice to command a mechanical device or something like that. At least you can do that now.
And if you, in those days, if you had to steal a loaf of bread or something like that because you were starving to death and living on the streets, you could get hanged, couldn't you, for it?
Yes, or burnt at the stake. But I understand that most people who were burnt at the stake at that time were generally throttled first.
Oh, lovely.
So that they were in a sort of a semi-conscious state, not completed, of course.
I'd like to say thank you for those who may have just joined us on Spirit's Work. You're listening to Spirit Guide Gregory Hay, being channeled by Deep Trance Medium Mick Avery. I'm Sylvie Avery, and we're discussing The Simple World. If you'd like to join us, join in with the discussion or ask Gregory a question. In the U.S. and Canada, it's toll-free, and the number in U.S. is 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-810-8322. And the international number is 001-530-876-3222. And that's not toll-free, but it really doesn't cost a lot of money for a few minutes. Okay. So, would you like to continue?
Oh, very well. You see, if you are a being who has faculties, if you have everything, you have all of the faculties of your life. Perhaps not sensory, perhaps not in a way of clairaudience or clairsentience or clairvoyance. But perhaps, at least, if you have all of your physical attributes, then you are gifted. You have these apparatus that you can deal with in your physical life. So why are you complaining? Why are human beings so depressed and so negative about their life? Simply because they're not in touch with the operator. That's it. That is the simple truth. For human beings to realize the happiness that can come, they need to meditate, and they need to connect with that higher conscious self. And to do this, you can do it in many different ways. You can do it through yoga. You can do it through simple meditation. You can, if you want to, imagine a red ball and do it that way. You can sit in front of a candle if you so desire, or have a headset on with music playing. You have all of these different things that you can bring to your life to help you to center yourself, to help you to meditate. Personally, we do not actually advocate any of those, because they tend to then fill your mind with something else. And that isn't really the object of meditation. The object of meditation, of course, is to find the island of peace. How are you possibly going to find the island of peace? With music. Or with somebody talking you through a guided meditation. How are you going to be able to find that true island sanctuary if you place it obstructions in front of you and in front of your progress? The simple world goes like this. Every root has a branch. Every branch has a leaf. Upon every branch, creatures dwell. They are there because they want to be. Because they are in a state of being. They are there just at the right time. Perhaps to take nourishment from the new leaf. Or they are there just at the right time. Perhaps to be snapped up by a bird. They are there at just the right time to watch as the leaf unfurls in the morning sun and helps the earth to breathe. They are there just at the right time. Even in through all of those days of breathing, that they finally let go and create more of the earth for the nourishment of their own root system. And then they will once again be a part of the complete whole of life. Life is continuous. For every leaf of every tree, they are rejoined once again within the central part of the spirit of that tree. So the tree is reunited with all of those millions and billions of leaves that it has shed as a part of its ongoing process to create growth and to help the planet to survive. You have fishes in the sea. Why are they there? Because the sea is a larger volume of space than occupies the land that human beings could ever take. The sea is such a space, so vast, and yet every fish, every microbe, is central to its equilibrium. Yes, you can take some fish from the sea, and it will still come back. You can harvest them. And they will still come back. But if you are greedy, then you actually move them into a state of imbalance, along with all of the other organisms. If you do that, then all of those beings who depend upon the fish will not have that nutrient, will not have that possibility to create for their own life and their own species. This is just a simple pathway, friends. It isn't complicated, but human beings still refuse to see it. When I was in the physical side of life, a few times I observed trees and I looked at birds as they mated in the morning or whatever. I looked at and observed different animals and different creatures, the way they too shared the planet in their own wild state.
Hi, Gregory.
Hello, friend.
Hello. Who's this?
Hi. Hi there. How are you?
Hello. What's your name?
Charlene.
Oh, hello, Charlene. Hello.
Hi. Hello. Should I go ahead with a question?
Absolutely.
Please do.
Okay. I've had the fortunate experience of reaching the void. So I wanted to ask Gregory if that is a possibility to get back to that place of...
Hello?
Hi.
Oh, I think we got cut off for a minute.
Please, would you...
Sorry about that.
Yes. Say it again, please.
Okay. I wanted to ask Gregory, I've had the fortunate experience of being in the void, being in the nothingness, and I was wanting to know if it's possible to go back there.
Being in the nothingness, in a meditation?
Yes.
Hmm.
Oh, yes, absolutely so, friend. Absolutely so. In fact, that is the prime place for you to be. Because
right.
That is actually where you will find your island of peace, truly.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to have all of these bits of paraphernalia and whatnot in order to do that. You just need to sit in a very comfortable position. I don't recommend that you would sit cross-legged on the floor. I've seen lots of people do it, and that is a matter for them, of course, if they find that comfortable. I would personally recommend that you just sit in a simple wooden seat that has a straight back to it.
Okay.
And just really learning to relax in a very simple pose, just with your knees and your ankles together and with your hands in your lap, and just being completely rested, feeling as though, you see, in this way, you actually take the pressure off your arms, you actually feel the shoulders coming down from your ears, as they would normally in your day, perhaps, particularly for people who are stressed. And this is absolutely the most simple way. It has to be simple. Meditation has to be simple. It shouldn't be difficult. You shouldn't have to configure your fingers or your hands in a certain way to attract the energy or anything else. Complete rubbish. All you need to do is to just sit and relax and be at peace with your hands nice and still, perhaps folded within one another, spooning one another. And just... You see, meditation has to be simple because everyone on the planet has to understand it. Regardless of the communication skill, regardless of the ability of the mind to do this or do that, you have to, everyone, it has to be open to every single being. Meditation is a simple practice. It's a simple way of making connection with your divine spirit. And in that way, you will find your island of peace.
Do you meditate often?
Yes, I do. And I've just never been able to reach the state of, you know, just total consciousness again. And I was wondering if that was, you know, because I've only been able to achieve that void, you know, of knowing that I am just total consciousness.
Yes.
Not being in my physical.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I was wondering if, you know, it's possible to go back and if it's important to go back, now knowing that I know.
Absolutely, yes.
Yes.
Well, I think probably you're trying too hard as well. That's the trouble once you've been there, and it's because it's a lack of trying that it happens.
Yes, and I would not say that it is really going back. What you are doing is you are learning to... to unravel the mind. You are learning to let go of those pieces of instruction that you always look for.
Mm-hmm.
And the busy mind is something which aggravates you. That is the point, that you then come to the point of aggravation. I wish my mind would stop. And what then happens is that you are then detracted away from peace in being negative about your mind, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And you are trying to actually learn how to control it. Well, you won't learn to control it that way because you are creating negativity about how you feel about your mind and your lack of positivity, your lack of ability, shall we say, to shut it down, to shut it up.
Mm-hmm.
So the point is, my friend, is what you have to say to yourself is, very well, this time I'm going to try something different. This time, what you are going to do is that when a thought comes to you, that aggravating little thought that previously had disturbed you, just allow it.
Mm-hmm.
Just allow it to be there. Don't give it any attraction. That's the secret. Give it less attraction and it won't attract to you. And you will find that it will just drift away. In the next moment, you will even find yourself looking for it. Oh, is it still there?
Mm-hmm.
And even then, you may attract back to that thought in your searching for it. I know full well exactly what the physical mind does, what your physical brain does. It looks for these objects because you are a creative being. Therefore, you are always creating something, whether it is creating negativity, whether it is creating past thoughts, relating to them or relating to present now situation. It is no different. You are still using the mind to access this creation. So what you need to do is to step away from that practice.
Right.
A very simple way, my friend, to do this is perhaps, yes, I think perhaps what you could try to do is just as a little test to see if you can, if you actually understand what it is that you need to do with your mind. You understand? I'm just showing you this as a little course you could take for yourself.
Okay.
And what you could do is quite simply stick your thumb up.
Mm-hmm.
And what you would do is you would have your, shall we say, the thumb of your left hand, and you place it in the palm of your right hand, gently seated on your lap. And then what you would do through your meditation is that you will try to concentrate on your thumb, the energy around your thumb. Try to actually feel the texture of your skin through your mind.
Okay.
And when you are doing that, you will actually just concentrate upon that single thing and nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
And as you do that, you will find that your concentration will go, will gradually lapse, and there will be little other thoughts coming into your mind. When, in a little while from that, you will find that you can no longer feel your thumb, and you can also find that you are upon your island of peace already. Simply by concentrating on one little piece of your anatomy means that you are actually taking away from all of those other busy thoughts and feelings.
Mm.
You are not attracting them. You are not thinking of them. You're not looking for them to be somewhere else. You are instead focusing on a simple thing, a different part of you. And you will find that gradually the sensation from your thumb will leave you. And you won't be mindful of it anymore. In fact, you won't be mindful of anything. And then you will achieve a simple state of peace.
Well, thank you. I will try that.
Hmm.
Okay. Incidentally, that is something that's also very good as a technique for if you are experiencing pain in a certain place of your anatomy.
Mm-hmm.
And, for example, if you've hurt your leg, hurt your foot, whatever, try that same thing. Use the quality of your mind and your meditation technique to actually focus upon that given area of where the site of pain is. And you will find that the more that you focus upon it, gradually it will recede.
Mm.
Try it and let us know how you get on.
Very good.
Okay. Thank you, Sue.
All right. Thank you, Charlene.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. God bless, friend.
Bless you, too.
Yes, you see, so we had this situation where human beings do find difficulty in trying to understand what is peace, what is, how do I reach this island? As I say, it is actually very simple, because what you need to do is to realize that meditation has to be simple, otherwise not everyone on the planet could do it. It has to be accessible to every single being. Otherwise, how are all of those beings, which are a part of God, part of the creative force of all life, possibly ever going to find their way home?
Absolutely, and I think it's such a problem for most people, this babbling mind that we have, and actually trying, you know, because all day, every day, we are trying consciously to do something, to take our life down one avenue or another.
Yes, and you're using it.
All the time, to survive. We need it to survive. And now we're saying we have to relinquish that, and it's difficult because we actually try to relinquish it, whereas all we have to do is relinquish it.
Yes, and no activity is actually involved.
Absolutely.
Is necessary.
And it's so hard.
Yes, and that is part of the problem. So what you have is that people, human beings, are constructing all of these different ways of how you stop the mind. Well, the simplest way to stop the mind is just to leave it alone. If you don't mess with it, it won't bother you.
Well, I think that's the thing. When people realize that if you start feeding your aggravation, feeding these errant thoughts that pop in,
yes,
then they will keep popping in and they will stay there.
It almost becomes like a narcotic.
Yes.
And it does have that effect upon you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, thank goodness, I have another thought. Well, what about all of those people who have actually lost their thoughts, lost their mind?
But I also think that, the classic situation is that as Charlene called it, the nothingness that you get into in the meditation is you don't know you're there until either you are there or till you've come back.
And then you know you've been.
Absolutely.
Oh, it's too late. I've been. I wanted to experience that some more.
Sometimes you can be in the nothingness and know you're in the nothingness and not have any other thoughts and just feel wonderful. And at other times you can actually completely not remember anything until you come back.
And both are equally all right.
Absolutely, yes.
Because
yes.
The point is that sometimes in the state of nothingness, you are actually perhaps making a closer relationship or a closer union in some way with a spirit helper or guide who perhaps needs to be with you.
Mm. And also another thing is that we also think that on these journeys that we should come back with something. People say, oh, you know, what did you see? Where did you go?
Yes, like a reward, like you're a dog with a bone or you have to drag a branch back with you.
Yes, what reason? There was a reason, you know, what was the symbols? And, you know,
yes.
It's not. And if you put all those connotations into it, you're never going to do it.
No, particularly I would have to say with symbology and that kind of thing, because perhaps you have been taught, oh, well, you must look for this symbol or that symbol or this being. This being is tied to you, so this is your ascended master or whatever, and lo and behold, there you see them. Well, of course you will, because it's already been placed in your mind. How else are you going to do it? If you don't have that situation placed in front of you, you are, and something is brought completely extraneous to your physical life, then you could say that you've really made contact with a different being, if you haven't thought of it first. But for many people in physical life, they actually conjure up these situations. So what they're doing is they're not really experiencing this communication at all. They're just merely illuminating something which is already a previous thought.
Whereas if you go into it not expecting anything and it's placed there, then you will know that it's real.
Yes, which is part of the problem that I have with many human beings that think that you have to read an enormous amount of books, gain an enormous amount of physical knowledge in order to become a trance medium or something like that. When in actual fact, the best way of becoming a true trance medium is not to read anything at all. Because in that way of not reading anything at all, you will actually establish the truth of something outside of yourself. I do believe we're just about to get drowned out.
By an aeroplane?
Yes.
That's okay. Speak up.
Well, I will try to. Mm-hmm. So that you would actually have thoughts that actually illuminate your mind and are present in it. Instead, what you really seek is to have thoughts extraneous to yourself which have no bearing upon your physical life whatsoever. And perhaps are from a very specific source, and it doesn't have to be an alien. You are not any better for communicating with any other species or being. And I understand that many people assume that what they are actually doing, in fact, is possibly communicating with the spirit of certain beings which are not necessarily physical human beings. I understand that. Many shamanistic practices also advocate this form of communication channeling. However, if the situation happens and the medium themselves are not necessarily completely unconscious, am I saying then that it's a default? Am I saying that it is an inaccuracy? No. I am actually saying that it is possible for different species to communicate with human beings, perhaps in a desperate attempt to try to sway people's minds into understanding that they don't want to be eaten or that they are a very necessary part of the food chain that doesn't actually include human behavior against them. You see, there are many reasons of why animals would want to communicate with human beings. They have simple reasons behind their lives as well. And really, the whole purpose of life, is it not to be creative? Is it not to be expressionate of the love within you? To bring that into the physical world? Because that is the greatest gift you can possibly have. So why would you not want to do that? And meditation will help you to do that, simply because by visiting more times the well of yourself, that well of spirit that you are, you will increase the loving energy vibration, which actually forms more serotonin in your physical body. And this then transcends the physical state and helps you to become more creative in your whole and complete spiritual experience. So yes, it is possible for you to have a sense of enlightenment in the physical world. It is possible for many things to occur. What you really, really need to do is to understand that the primary causes of life are not that you must be hostile to it, but that you need to learn to be able to actually let go physically to certain roots of your life, because perhaps they are turning the soil sour in your effort to create what you want rather than what is actually natural to the whole planet.
Quite ironic, isn't it, that the one simple act that would deal with most of our problems on this earth is free.
Yes.
And takes no time at all. In fact, you don't advocate that you meditate for a particularly long time, do you, either?
No, indeed not, because people, human beings, tend to get bored very quickly. They actually fidget. They do things. to upset the balance. They don't sit well. So the best thing to do is to just sit for 20 minutes, and then you won't fall into that little trap. And when you fall into that little trap, you see what you're actually doing is then becoming angry again about your lack of discipline or lack of this or lack of that. And that just demolishes the whole concept and the whole way of change of vibration that you are bringing about in your physical life.
And, of course, the invocations as well. We always say that you open with an invocation.
Yes, and close with one at the end of it.
Absolutely.
As well, in order to protect yourself. It is most essential that you do this. Just because you are a human being who is issuing love or who is being a very loving being doesn't mean to say that you would not necessarily be aloof of negative contact from the spirit world. Do not forget, many negative beings may be attracted to you as a light because of the love within you that creates a light around your auric field. And that is something which is seen by the spirit world. Does that mean to say then that people who are walking around their life grumpy and in a negative state won't be attracted to negativity either, or negative energies from the spirit world? They will be, because their negative energy will also be seen by those of the spirit world who are negatively displaced in that way. This is why you need to have an invocation. It isn't set there as something for you to fear. It's just like saying a prayer. And a prayer is just like something simple. Saying something simple to the creator of all life. Because that, at the end of the day, is really what you want to do. You want to say, God, please help me. I need to do this. I need to do that. I need to do whatever it is you want to do. And I am doing it for this reason. Always state your reason. So if you are just doing a simple meditation for yourself, you don't want any interaction with a being from the spirit world or whatever, you don't need to have any of that. That's the point, you see. You don't have to make connection with dead people all the time.
No.
You don't have to do that. I mean physically dead people. You can make contact with beings in the spirit world, and you would say that that is what you want to do. If you don't want to do that, you just want to sit in your island of peace and meditate and be peaceful and rejuvenate your energy in that way, because that is a very good time for you to do that, then say that. That's all you have to do. Just say it.
Okay, well, that's been wonderful, and I hope this has helped not only the lovely callers that we had in their meditation and their spiritual pathway, but others who are listening, because it is we all have the same problems, basically, and it helps to know that we're not alone, and because it is a lonely, usually a lonely practice, because you're doing it on your own if you're not doing it with a friend.
Yes.
So,
but the point is that it is quite acceptable. It is something that you can do on your own. You don't need anyone else. That's the point.
Absolutely.
In order to find this inner well of love of self, of yourself, for yourself, then you are going to be more used to others, are you not? And in doing that, you are going to transcend your previous physical life and what you had thought yesterday, because it doesn't have any bearing upon what you think today. What you think now is going to be transcended in a few moments by what you think then. And so gradually the past is left behind. And so what we need you to do is to embrace that understanding and move forward with it, recognizing you are a simple being in a simple world.
Once again, we've come to time, Gregory, but thank you ever so much. It's been lovely.
With love and light, friend. Be at peace upon your journey.
Yes, we're always welcome. We will always welcome your meditation questions. But, so important. Anyway, don't forget that our mini Akashic reading show will be the 19th of April. Your full name at birth we will need, including middle names, your date of birth, one question, and your telephone number. And email this to enq@spirit-teaching.com. Okay, so, well, we hope you've enjoyed the show. We have, and as well as Spirit Spoke Radio on the wonderful BBS on Mondays and Thursdays. We have Spirit Teaching Radio on artistverse.com on Tuesdays. All these details are on our site, which is spirit-teaching.com. So, my name is Sylvie Avery. Until next time, be peaceful, be positive, focus on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.